KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Jay Barrett. Coming up this week, the halibut charter industry in Southeast gets even more restrictive. Cor Campbell seems to be winning converts in the legislature and trying to rein in chum salmon bycatch. All that and more coming up on the Alaska Fisheries Report.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
Scores of fishing fleets and shoreside processing plants were wiped out in an instant in northeast Japan when the massive earthquake and tsunami hit last Friday. Japan is, of course, Alaska's most important seafood trading partner. Terry Schaff, president of Unicy, a Seattle-based processor owned by Japan's Nippon Susan, told the Seattle Times that satellite photos showed two company plants in Sendai were destroyed by the tsunami and that 160 employees there are missing. Sendai is a hub for processing, storage, and distribution of pollock, flatfish, and other seafood caught in Alaska waters. Contact your processor or the International Red Cross if you can help with the recovery. Fish and Game Commissioner Cora Campbell is up for confirmation by the state Senate. Legislators, including Senate President Gary Stevens, had expressed skepticism over Governor Sean Parnell's pick because of her youth and relative inexperience in leading one of the state's largest and most complex organizations. But it appears the 31-year-old from Petersburg has won over Stevens, who is one of several senators to recently express their support.
Ms. Campbell has certainly proved herself. I think there was some concern, certainly. She is younger than probably any other commissioner we've had in the past, but she's certainly proved herself. She speaks very well and very clear. She seems to be doing a good job of managing the department, and I don't see, frankly, personally, I don't see much opposition to her at this time.
We'll have an update on Campbell's confirmation hearing on next week's AFR. Governor Sean Parnell Wednesday nominated Eric Olson for consideration by the U.S. Secretary of Commerce to another three-year term on the North Pacific Fishery Management Council. Olson of Anchorage is currently the chairman of the council. The governor also named Ragnar Ahlstrom of Alakanuk and Jack Schulteis of Immonic as alternate nominees. The U.S. Secretary of Commerce will choose the final appointee. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game plans to hold five openings this spring to allow seiners to target what could be a record number of herring in the Sacro fishery in Sitka. The first aerial survey of the season occurred Monday morning and covered waters from West Crawfish Inlet to Salisbury Sound. Although biologists saw little predator activity in the southern part of the survey, northern waters showed fairly high concentrations. Biologists also observed six whales off Halibut Point and six in St. John and Baptist Bay. The department's research vessel, the Kestrel, is expected to be underway from Petersburg to Sitka shortly. Test fishing and sampling will begin once it arrives. The guideline harvest level this spring for the Sacro herring fishery is 19,490 tons.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is supported in part by ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company, and by
the Pebble Partnership, pursuing jobs and opportunities for Southwest Alaska. Find out more at pebblepartnership.com.
You're listening to the Alaska Fisheries Report. Hear the whole show online anytime at kmxt.org. The controversial West Beam Canal herring sacro fishery is scheduled to open this spring. Some say it's time to allow for commercial harvest, while others say the stocks are too unpredictable and believe the herring are important to more than just the fishing industry. KRBD's Maria Dudzak has this report.
The Sacro Herring Management Plan provides for alternating gill net and purse seine fisheries for West Beam Canal each year. The 2011 gillnet fishery will be managed for a guideline harvest level of 861 tons. An additional 96 tons is allocated to the bait pound fishery for the year. This is the second fishery announced for the gillnet sacro fleet in West Beam Canal since 2003. The first potential opening was March 2004, but the fishery did not open based on in-season survey results. Scott Walker, area management biologist for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, says the fishery did not occur that year because the fish did not come back as anticipated.
There's various types of arguments exactly what happened to those fish, but at the same time we saw quite a large increase to the fish that returned to Annette Island that year. So we'll never really know exactly what happened, but it's a good possibility those fish, which have been a bit sporadic on where they choose to go, may have gone south of the West Beam traditional spawning areas.
Walker says few fish came back over the next few years, but the fishery steadily built up and has reached the threshold level. The preseason forecast is 6,000 tons or more of mature herring. Walker says the fishery has been presented to the Board of Fish four times for consideration, with testimony from those in support of and opposing the fishery. Walker says biologically, the fishery seems sound for this season.
It seemed to be a very strong stock this last year that came back, and it seems as if biologically it'd be very safe to conduct a small fishery.
Walker says herring stocks in general are very cyclic, with variations of high and low abundance. For West Beam Canal, he says stocks were very low in the 1980s, but began to increase in the 1990s. He says the reasons for the variability are not known. One of those opposed to the fishery is Lawrence Snapper Carson. Carson is a lifelong Ketchikan resident and says for the past 40 years he's observed significant changes in the herring population in the area.
I watched the whole West Beam ecology change from when I lived here, and there were lots of herring and lots of salmon and not many whales, not many sea lions, to a place where we have a lot of resorts, I think four or five in the area, with a huge sport fishery and a huge recreational and commercial sport fishery, and also a huge hatchery that releases billions of salmon every year that go through the area, and they all feed on herring.
Carson says the area should be studied rather than harvested. ADF&G's first aerial survey of the West Beam Canal spawning area is scheduled for March 30th. The agency's research vessel, Medea, is expected to be on the grounds April 4th. In Ketchikan, I'm Maria Dudzak.
Southeast Alaska charter halibut operators are facing new restrictions. Clients on their boats can now only keep fish up to 37 inches long. That's on top of existing one halibut per day limits imposed in 2009. The new rule from NOAA's Fisheries Service is part of a larger effort to address dwindling stocks and overfishing by the charter industry. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
Spokeswoman Julie Spiegel says NOAA Fisheries is implementing recommendations from the International Pacific Halibut Commission. They were based on analysis and methods adopted by the North Pacific Fishery Management Council.
The halibut stock is declining. We've got fewer fish that are reaching a catchable size range, and also the higher-than-target harvest rates are having an impact on the fish.
The decision affects charter halibut operators in what's called Area 2C. That includes all of southeast Alaska south of Yakutat. The rest of the state has a two-fish quota with no size limit. The rule is part of an ongoing effort to rein in charter fleets' harvests, which have exceeded limits for years. A one-fish-a-day rule in place last season still left operators over their harvest level by 62%. Charter harvests are supposed to be limited to 788,000 pounds this year. The new length rule is in effect until it's changed, but Spiegel says her agency will ask regulatory bodies to consider upping the limit to 42 inches. Commercial fishermen are seeing a 47% drop in their share of the catch this year. That's in addition to a 60% reduction over the previous 5 years. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
The North Pacific Fishery Management Council is looking to limit the amount of chum salmon wasted by the pollock fleet in the Gulf of Alaska. They're considering proposals similar to those adopted previously to curb king salmon bycatch. KYUK's Shane Iverson in Bethel has more.
It was 2005 when the pollock fleet in the Bering Sea scooped up over 700,000 young chum salmon.
I think everybody in the council recognizes that's far too many fish to be caught in the fishery.
That's Duncan Fields, who is one of 11 voting members on the North Pacific Fishery Management Council, a federal body responsible for setting fish policy in those waters. Fields was speaking before a federal subsistence advisory council comprised mainly of subsistence hunters and fishers from the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. That body had been pushing for years for the North Pacific Fishery Management Council to tackle the issue of salmon bycatch in the Gulf of Alaska. Many blame the pollock fleet for dwindling returns of salmon in western Alaska rivers like the Yukon and Kuskokwim rivers. The Chinook or King proposals went into effect at the beginning of this year.
I would expect that the council will look at the chum salmon bycatch issue in a way similar to what we did with Chinook.
Those Chinook limits call on an industry cap of 60,000 salmon, but it also allows for a voluntary cap of about 47,000. Field says for many subsistence fishers, that cap might seem high. But he says when you get into the details of the limits, you see some strong incentives to not catch salmon in the high seas.
Every skipper has a specific amount of Chinook, which is very limiting on those fleets. And we've seen fleet behavior change remarkably in the last 3 years.
The 3 years Fields mentioned include the years that it took for the North Pacific Fishery Management Council to finally take action on the Chinook bycatch. But the process was scrutinized by the media and the industry, and many knew that stricter limits would be coming down the pipe.
Just the pressure of having those caps in place has created the incentives for the fleet to develop these intercooperative agreements and, in fact, police themselves down to much lower levels of Chinook bycatch.
Fields wants to see a similar system in place to regulate chum bycatch, and that's one of the options on the table. The North Pacific Fishery Management Council is reviewing several options. Proposed caps on the amount of chum taken by pollock fleet include annual caps as low as 50,000 or as high as 353,000 chum salmon. They're also looking at rolling closures of areas that have historically high amounts of bycatch. The YK Delta RAC had been inviting representatives from the North Pacific Fishery Management Council to attend a meeting and begin a face-to-face dialogue for years. Fields is the first to do so when they met in Mountain Village. His visit was part of an initiative by the North Pacific Fishery Management Council to increase their outreach in rural Alaska as they prepare to make changes to federal policy. They say they plan on sending members to other regional subsistence advisory boards in places like Galena and Naknek this spring. The North Pacific Fishery Management Council will make a final decision on chum bycatch limits at their Anchorage meeting sometime between October and December of this year. That decision will be forwarded to the U.S. Secretary of Commerce for approval. For KYUK, I'm Shane Iverson.
Alaska's House of Representatives have earmarked $467,500 to fund Kodiak Island's salmon counting stations at Weirs and reestablish sampling programs for juvenile sockeye in Karluk and Fraser Lakes. The fund passed the House this week and are headed for the Senate. Senate President Gary Stevens of Kodiak says he supports the funding for Alaska Department of Fish and Game, but during a press briefing Tuesday, others, such as Bethel Senator Lyman Hoffman, were less committal.
I believe that there are going to be discussed. We need to look at both Fish and Game, and the subcommittee will be making their recommendation to the full Finance Committee. I think it's more a process of the House passing a budget, the Senate passing a budget, and we work out the differences at the conference table.
Last year, Weir operations were shortened due to a lack of funding.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
And that's all for this edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help this week from KMXT's Jacob Resnick in Kodiak, KCAW's Robert Woolsey in Sitka, KRBD's Maria Dudzak in Ketchikan, Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau, and KYUK's Shane Iverson in Bethel. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Jay Barrett.